Hi, welcome to another day in the telesummit of It's About How You Live, taking the fear out of having conversations about advanced care planning, serious illness, and end-of-life care. And today is a truly special day. There's a wonderful friend of mine that has agreed to be a part of this wonderful summit. She is amazing. Her name is Mia Sines. So welcome, Mia.
Thank you, Tina. I'm very excited to be here. I'm very honored that you asked me.
Well, the viewers are in for a true treat because Mia is going to share so many wonderful things with you that possibly you would not have known how to get in touch with before. And before we get into some of those things, I want to read a little bit of her bio so everybody knows a little bit more about Mia and how special she is. Mia is a love alchemist. She's also a former hospice nurse. She is a third generation metaphysical practitioner, and she learned the wisdom of healing and prayer from her well-known grandmother that I hope we're going to hear a little bit more about. Mm-hmm. Mia is the self-love teacher for anyone who feels alone and yet dreams of knowing the joy of a love-soaked life. Through her work as a love teacher and coach, Mia has discovered the depth of love on all levels. Love truly is the goal the alchemists were seeking. Working through love changes the energy of your story and opens the connection to have all of life's purposes flow, which includes love, money, and abundance. Mia works with people whose desire is to grow in their spiritual path, building a concrete foundation in all areas of life. Mia teaches love mastery and the spiritual elite with mystics and her natural gifts. In addition, Mia is also a media host and is the founder and editor-in-chief of Bella Mia Magazine, a transformational and holistic living well magazine, of which I've been so honored to be one of the writers. So welcome, my friend Mia.
Thank you so much, honey. Again, it's wonderful to be here with you.
So excited. Yes. You viewers are in for an extreme treat. So I think where we really need to start is let's hear the story of Mia and your grandmother.
Okay, great. I believe in my heart of hearts that my gram, we called her Nana, that she really was the saving grace within my life. I still reflect upon her regularly, as I even mentioned in my bio, because the impact of what she taught me and the love in which I received it was so beautiful and pure, and it made me who I am today more than any other influence from my parents, or, well, obviously that was there, but on the negative side, you know, or my dad, whom I loved but died when I was young. So she really is a very powerful force for me, and I used to go with her when she was little. We used to call clients patients back then, just like in the facilities. And so I used to go with her to see her patients, and she was brilliant. We're talking about the 60s and 70s. She had an office downtown Santa Monica, and which was like on Second Street, and she had one in her home on the beach. So
okay,
it was incredible.
Was your grandmother a nurse, or what was she?
My grandmother was a metaphysical practitioner. So through prayer and healing, they changed many lives. So people would utilize her services to come when they were ill or even not ill, have discussions, sort of like therapy today, or sort of like how any of us spiritual teachers or metaphysicians work with people, teach them how to clear their mindset, how to think positively and in the right alignment of your position as an infinite spiritual being or as a children of God. That brings a lot of peace for very many people. Not everyone in the world, obviously, believes in God. We have a lot of atheists and things like that. So when you are in a certain thought process, it seems to be easier, at least for many of us. And so it was beautiful to be introduced to, I remember one of her patients was a 1920s silent film star.
Oh my gosh.
Fantastic people.
She must have been what caused you to want to be a hospice nurse. Is that right?
Well, yes. I also wanted to be a practitioner my entire life. And I wanted to be a lecturer, just like my grandmother. And she, there was nothing too big or too small for her to take on, and she always did it in grace and ease. And in a spiritual aspect, we learn to manifest and create and bring in and heal and all sorts of stuff. So those are the fundamentals that I grew up with, that I practiced from a very young age. I remember manifesting things at the age of 4. And the reason I remember specifically was because it was had to do with my mother, who seemed to have missed a metaphysical spiritual link, and it went around to my aunts. Unfortunately, I grew a lot because of my mom. I had a very special relationship from a very young child. I'm not sure if you hear that background noise on okay, good. It's just, I bring in all sorts of energy. Sometimes I hear angel wings. Sometimes we hear trains. It's, now I hear somebody trying to speak. So. I hear you. And of course, we're talking about a show like this that it would have to come in that way. So I will ignore it, and hopefully it's not inside the tape and you all can hear it.
I think it'll be fine.
Perfect.
And I know you have a beautiful video on your homepage. So Mia's website is miasaints.com, and science is not spelled S-I-G-N-S. It's S-A-E-N-Z. So M-I-A-S-A-E-N-Z.com. You have a beautiful video on your homepage that really kind of gets into your story, like why you wound up doing the kind of work you do. So if, I think it's just important. Let's kind of cover that early on in this chat, and then I think it'll make a lot of sense to people why you do what you do.
Well, I was born at 6 months. My identical twin sister died. There was I've always had death in my lifeline here, both myself and others. I had several exit points and didn't exit out of life, which I'm so grateful for. They weren't my choice to exit out, they just came. And I guess later on we'll speak about an experience that I had where I actually did almost cross over. The doctor said that I had oxygen deprivation, so it was proven by doctors that I did pass on. So it just shows us what reality truly is, and this is why I'm so firm as a spiritual woman and as a practitioner about my mindset and my focus and love, and experiencing what true love is, which is divine, because I'm here to serve mankind, and I'm here to teach through this, you know, through my life. And that may sound to some people listening who have never heard somebody speak like that, it may sound like, well, who the heck does she think she is? And you know, I've gotten that from people, but once they get to know me, they're like, oh my God, I know Mia, you know. So it's all about what we can do for people to serve them and to bring them into, and I don't want to use spiritual terms like into the light or anything like that, but into your own self and your own peacefulness and your own love and your own happiness. So that's life is about.
Yeah, that's what I wanted you to cover for a couple of minutes, is that a lot of your clients have not been brought up in a loving environment. And right. So they have a lot of negative messaging that they continue to take into their adult life. And so a lot of your work is helping people with self-love. So
exactly.
Just a couple of minutes on that.
And I teach conscious self-love. So self-love is universal. Everybody's heard about self-love. We do kind things for ourselves. We light candles. We turn on music. But conscious self-love is a conscious awareness of what you're doing. You're not just lighting a candle because it is something that you want to do. Why are you lighting the candle? Because it makes you feel amazing. It brings the atmosphere in. It elevates how you're feeling inside. It's bringing your ambiance. You turn on music so you can feel it in your body, which feels good. You do the mirror work, which I teach, and many others teach it. I teach it differently. But you do the mirror work because you want to connect to yourself to a deeper love. You do your inner child meditation that's on my website as well as a free gift because you want to eliminate the stories or change the energy of the painful stories. I was told from a very young age that my siblings and I should not be alive because of, I almost said brutal, because of the dysfunction of my mother. And so this is why prayer and love and all this life is so important to me, and why I said that I can relate to all of this at such, and remember at such a young age, is my first experience. I remember after a horrific beating being locked in the closet and just knowing that, and talking to God and just saying, I know you're my true father, mother. Now, these are things that I obviously learned from my grandmother. But they supported me, and I felt loved, and my brother let me out of the closet to go to the bathroom, and then my grandmother showed up, but she never came to that house. And so we can create an energy that allows others to feel us. It's sort of like a healing. It is a manifestation. It's a creation of bringing in something that we need. And we all have this divine right. And I know that may sound kind of interesting to some people that have never heard that before. What I like to say to people when they hear new information is, listen, don't accept it if it doesn't feel right to you, because then you're going against your own soul's purpose of what really is. But allow things to listen and absorb, and if they still don't feel right, it's okay, because you have your own path. Not everybody's path is identical. It couldn't be. We're that incredible of human beings that it's not identical. So the conscious self-love is literally about putting the awareness of why we're doing things. I'm doing this because I am an amazing image and likeness of my creator. That I truly am, and I believe that. And when people do this exercise, say you're making coffee or tea or hot lemon water in the morning, and you understand that you're doing it for your health, for your love for yourself, you shift into a different place.
Yeah.
There comes a love within you. You're allowing love to enter. And there's a stillness in love that literally fills up that solar plex area. Our solar plexus housed our fear for thousands of years. Wow. It's our fight or flight space. So when we accept ourselves and understand love, then it fills up with peacefulness, and we are at peace. We're not running around crazy trying to drink more, sex more, gamble more, whatever. We're not looking for substitutes. We're happy with ourselves in the stillness. I used to never be able to be alone. Well, I have to have at least 4 or 5 hours. I'm not talking about sleep time, by myself per day, so that I can meditate, contemplate, and be with myself, because I actually enjoy myself. And yes, I am in a relationship and have been married for years. So it's not like I'm one of these weirdos that can't function in society. I have millions of friends. So the point is, it's about getting in touch with yourself and understanding who you are, because then you can be a better support system for your family, for yourself, for your friends, for your loved ones.
Yeah, and I just want to thank you for being vulnerable enough to share your personal story, because I'm sure there were some painful things that went on. And that leads me to another, I think it was about the time we met, your mom was actually dying.
My mother-in-law.
Oh, sorry. Yes. That's right. Yes. That's right. I'm so sorry. Your mother-in-law. But there was some difficult, challenging situations around that. So if you don't mind sharing, that's
right. It's a crazy nursing story for sure. It's a crazy existence. My mother-in-law, who this woman, I had already divorced her husband, but it'd been, or her son, but had been with that family for years. And I was the liaison for the trust. Plus I would have been there just because I loved her. When she fell and broke her hip, sometimes the belief system is people go on right away. Well, we know now the belief system has changed. We can repair that. People can get up and they can be around. So she broke her hip. She was in the hospital and then in a rehabilitation place. And I wanted to bring her home. So I got nurses and I brought her home. And for about 2 or 18 months before I came to live with her, because I could tell something was going on, I stayed there for a while to see how she was doing. It occurred to me after being there a month that the nurse was literally trying to kill her.
Oh.
So by starving her, she was down to like 78 pounds. By starving her, by not taking care of her wounds properly, a doctor had to come twice a week. So once I removed this nurse, her body started to change, but her mind didn't. And she did pass on about 4 months later.
So was that nurse, like, was she written up or fired, or do we know?
She wasn't able to go back to the company that she worked for.
Good.
Yeah. And I don't know if she left the country. You know, a lot of, home care nurses are, some of them are from other countries. So, because some of these services don't bring in actual RNs until the end, you know? And so, we have to be aware of what's going on in our home and our loved ones' homes. Make sure you check the refrigerator. Make sure you ask. We all have, cameras on our phone. Make sure you ask for daily pictures of before and after. Yes, they can throw food away. But the point is every single nurse should take a record when they're in somebody's home of their wake-up time, their bowel movements, their, any type of urinary, diaper changes if necessary, food intake, liquid intake, all these need to be written down. And apparently, a lot of nursing services don't do that until it gets to the end with hospice. And that's not acceptable.
I'll also interject, because hospice is such a highly regulated industry, documentation is huge. Mm-hmm. And I think in the home health environment, if it wasn't really, really important before, I think it certainly is today. Mm-hmm. So that's such an important lesson that you're sharing, particularly with caregivers, is make sure you know what's going on if you have people coming into mm-hmm. your home. And I don't necessarily mean hospice people, because hopefully they're the best of the best, but other people, because there are a lot of people that, they need a sitter, or they're mm-hmm. not ready for hospice yet.
Right.
Maybe they're not even in a home health situation. They just mm-hmm. need somebody to come in and help out with mama. Just like you said, watch the refrigerator, watch mm-hmm. the cash drawer. Just be aware what's going on.
It's interesting you said watch the cash drawer. But regarding the patient, watch if there's wounds that are coming on them. This happens when they're sedentary and not pillowed or turned to support different areas of our body. When the blood gets in one area, they need to be turned, rotated every couple hours, because by the time they're in bed like that, and hospices in the near future, whether it's 6 months, 4 months, 1 month, whatever, you must be aware that the patient or your family member has things that need to be watched. There are all types of things that come from not being cleaned enough, from not being changed enough, from not being turned enough. Now, I'm not saying get hyper freaky about it. What I'm saying is be aware, keep your own notes, because if someone has a bed sore, call in a doctor. There are services, and the government, I believe, has to provide that through Social Security or something like that. Bring in a doctor. Ask your family doctor, who do you recommend? What service? Ask people. Start asking. Write Tina. Say, hey. And I turned to Tina in the end. And it was not too late, but it was at the end. And she said, honey, you should have had people months before. Mm. And we should have had people months before. Mm. Back in the day when I was nursing, people only came in at the end, in the facility where I was. So it's an interesting thing. Our people are loved. One of the things that I'd like to point out is I have crossed probably 20 people over, and it can be an incredible experience, because when you don't stand in the place of fear and you come as a support system to somebody else to elevate their experience on their transition, that can be very glorious. So read spiritual books or uplifting things to them. Bring them in a presence of calmness. Talk to them. Be aware that several days before, even a week or so before, they can start hallucinating or going off into the other realm and seeing family members. They may look off in the distance and start to talk to somebody. Communicate with them. Have this be your experience too. Who are they seeing? Are they seeing their parents, their sisters, their aunts, their uncles, their dogs? Because you can make this an incredibly beautiful time. Mm-hmm. I remember talking to Mel, my mother-in-law, about her dog, her childhood German Shepherd was there. And they were in a meadow having a picnic. And the 32, one of those old Model Ts or Model As was there. That she had a collection of them too. So you can create it's going into their realm, but it's okay. You love these people, or you love humanity, so you do this work, because it blesses them. It really blesses them. Now, as a young woman, I graduated high school, got married, went to nursing school, and became a hospice nurse. It was very difficult for me. And I literally cracked up very young couple years into it, and I left nursing, and I went back, and then, you know, off and on I would do it. So in this time frame, you fall in love. You know, people think, well, they're not family, they shouldn't be there, you know, for nurses. We love who we're with. We do this because we love. We're called to help and serve others. There's many different ways we can serve people on the planet. This is a glorious one that not everybody has the ability to, with the patience and the love and the earnestness before your shift is over and you're replaced, to sit there for 12 hours and take care of somebody in and out, constantly. It can be so beautiful. So make it beautiful. You know, even when you guys go to visit your family, make it beautiful. Right. Make it about them. Yes, it's a little surprising. Prepare your family. Prepare your kids. We're going to go see Nana. We're going to go see Auntie. We're going to go see whomever, Uncle. And remember, they're not very aware of what's going on. They're already starting to see things. And it's okay. Right. Just enjoy them. Right. So when we take away the fear, it seems so different than when we go in very fearful, and then they feel the fear.
Yeah, exactly. There's a beautiful poem that was written. There's a little book. A lot of people out there may be familiar with it, called Gone From My Sight, that a hospice nurse wrote. I think she was from Oregon, and I think she wrote it in 2003. I mean, it's been around a long, long time. Anyway, there's a very famous poem at the end of that little book, and it talks about how this boat is going out toward the horizon, and they watch and they watch, and all of a sudden it disappears. Mm-hmm. And the sadness that they feel, that they can't see that person anymore, but they know that there are people on the other side that are so excited to see them. Mm-hmm. So it's like you said, it's if they see mom who's already died, and they're having a conversation with mom, or I know my grandmother talked about I want to say like a day before she died, that they were building this beautiful, beautiful home. And she said, I just wish they'd hurry, you know, and just all kinds of wonderful experiences like that, that, like you said, it can make for a really special, memorable, almost enchanting experience. And I think you mentioned something about your mother-in-law, and when she died, there was a light that shone. What was that?
Well, I got a phone call in the morning. I was in the home, and I got a phone call, and I went running or dressed and went down to her suite of the house, and the nurse said, it's getting time. So I held her hands, which were frozen, and I knew that it was time, getting time. So I went back, and I got the book Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh, and I just started to read to her, and she got very peaceful, very calm. And I started talking to her about who she truly was and how this experience was really beautiful for her. And all of a sudden, she was it was almost like she was ready to go. And this beautiful pink and golden light came into the room through the window and on the wall behind us. And my husband, my second husband, was in the home too, which was very amazing that another man would be so generous to be with me while I had to be there.
And he's with the viewers that the mother-in-law was her first mother-in-law,
yes,
not her current husband's mother.
Yes.
So that's right. What you mean about being very generous. That is,
yes, it's very, he's pure love. And so he texted me, and he said through the wall or through the room or out through the living room, honey, there's this glorious golden and pink light shining down on the house. And I said, I know, it's on the wall here. So he came in and he saw it. And then I wrote about it on Facebook, and there were a lot of people in LA who kept saying, I was wondering where that light was coming from. I could see the pink and golden light. Now, it was so beautiful and so peaceful. I kept telling her, they're here. They're ready to take you. Release, relax, it's okay. She had so much anger and fear throughout her entire life, that sweet woman, that she made her transition very difficult. She didn't transition, she fought it. She said, no, I'm not going. And I'm like, yes, you are. And so it took hours. I mean, I finally left for a while to go, you know, out into the rest of the house because I was exhausted.
Yeah.
And it took about 5 additional hours before she passed. And that woman fought it because of her fear. That's why this work that I do about love and changing who we are allows us to up-level within ourselves that peacefulness. Now, see, if she had peace within her, she would have had a beautiful time transitioning, right? Mm-hmm. So part of it was beautiful, but then the fear set in. And she would stop breathing, and 48 seconds later, they're like, okay, she took another breath. I mean, that went on for like an hour. Yeah. So it's just, and I remember I kept calling you going, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
And then when she did transition, what I told you was I called you and I said, okay, now I'm going to celebrate her life.
Right.
And so once they took her, we, for a few days, we celebrated her and her life. And it was beautiful. Instead of being mourning and crying, yes, I was surprised that I did have, not repercussions, but I did struggle. Death is one of the things that can knock us down as individuals when we love somebody and they die or we find out that someone close to us passes away. So you need to just dig into your stuff. Understand this is not your journey. This is someone else's journey. When you do your love work for yourself, your self-love work, and connection to the higher self, allow your soul to be out there, what you're doing is you're understanding everyone's journey. It becomes, instead of this dot, 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 dot all over the whole map, it becomes this muted, beautiful colors together that flow because you're letting somebody else do what it's meant for them to do. They come here to live an experience. So allow people to live their experience. When you can say, I love myself so much in my journey, it's been so amazing, it's been tough, but I love this journey, you can then release the pain of even divorce, breakups, whatever it is, lost friends, death,
right,
to understand that it's someone else's journey. It's not yours. You still love them, but there's a release. There is a release there, and it's easier. So dig into your stuff, guys, and really get to know who you are, because it goes from, so when my dad died, when I was almost 14, a week before my 14th birthday, I mourned him every single day for about 16 or 17 years until my children were born.
Wow.
That's a long time to dream about him every single night. Now, people who see it beyond, I feel and hear beyond, but I don't see beyond. But people who see beyond see that my dad is right here on my left side and I have Ezekiel, my angel, on my right. So I know that he's still here with me and he won't leave. And I keep saying, go, go, I'm fine. And now I hear, I want to watch you fly.
He wants
to watch me do what he couldn't do, see in life with me. So that's okay. That's his journey. If he wants to be here, more the merrier.
Yeah, yeah.
My point is, we have our loved ones in the spirit form, in the love form, in the love energy here with us all the time. Whether we see them or not, they're around us. Mm-hmm. You know, they call them angels even.
Right.
So there's nothing to fear except for fear itself, literally. And when we get rid of that fear and limitation or anything that brings us into that negative space, when we get rid of it, what's on the other side? Complete joy. So when you talk about dark and light, you know, the shadows that we have, and then the light is all the elegance and grace, we must have one in order to see the other. So we must have the darkness in order to see the light. And when you, if you've had a rough life, or somebody that you love has had a rough life that's passing on, share with them that these darknesses are beautiful, because then they can see the joy and the glory and the grace of their experience.
Right.
Which is what we're here to do. We're here to absorb all this amazing stuff.
Right. And I would think so much of what you just said applies to caregivers who may be struggling with letting someone go. But mm-hmm. also the fact that your mother-in-law was so afraid, and I've mentioned on a few other interviews that different patients that were scared to death, mm-hmm. some denied that they were even sick. And so I would think the work that you do and the work that grief counselors do with an anticipatory grief for both family members, but also the patient that has this terminal illness, that you are sitting in such a place of great healing if they would just be open to it and help deal with whatever their fears are. Sorry, I meant to silence my phone. if they would just deal with whatever their fears are so that they don't struggle so much with that transition. Mm-hmm. Just amazing work that you do.
Can we share briefly that experience I had after my mother-in-law died when I passed on?
Please.
Because I want people to understand, we hear all the time of people write books about crossing over and doing this and doing that. And what I want to share is, yes, there are elements of, on the spiritual realm, of going beyond and seeing lights and seeing all sorts of great things. I developed, from the stress of it all, I developed what's called sleep apnea, which, unfortunately, those machines you have to sleep with now are really cute, and they're not loud like, you know, like I've heard some of them used to be. So, you know, and I had to use one of those for a couple years after that. But my husband would wake me up and say, breathe, because I would stop breathing in them.
Right.
And so he would almost watch guard over me. He didn't know what to do. And so one day in March, which was like 2 months after she had passed, I went to the bathroom, like I always did, down the hall into the bathroom out of our room. And there's another room off of our little hall. So there's like two wings of a house.
Okay.
So she had been in one wing, and so this is our wing. So walking down, and all of a sudden I see the light on in the other bedroom. And I go in there, and I see a little girl in there. And I said to her, what are you doing in here? And she said, I live here with my sister. And there's a lady and two men who live here too. We've been here for a long time. And I got violently ill. And I knew I was no longer on planet Earth, literally. So I go out into the living room. And it's the same structure of my home. It just didn't have the beautiful plantation shutters. It had blankets. And light goes very fast, dark and light, very fast. If it goes on, almost like the Truman Show with Jim Carrey, it's like, whoop, there goes the light. So a woman walks into the living room and says, hi, who are you? And I said, well, this is my home. I live here. And she said, well, we've been here for a very long time. We can't find the light. And so I said, well, you know what? I'll help you find the light. I'm like, get the hell out of my house. So, but then sweetness came in. So she and I just, you know, I didn't even think about anybody else. She and I opened the door. We went out onto the porch, went down into the, you know, into the grass area. And we normally, we're a couple blocks from the beach. We normally had, you know, a street and then the house across the street. So what happened was it turned into, at the bottom there was the ocean, and there was a man on a fishing boat sitting there, crazy image, in a director's chair, like cargo pants and boat shoes and his legs crossed with a polo shirt reading a newspaper. And I said, look, there's that man. He can take us to the light. It was like at 11 o'clock, you know, on the clock, you can see it. I'm like, there's a light. It's so glorious. It's so beautiful. You could feel it pulling you. It was so divine. So we, you know, jostled down there all excited. And I said, hi, do you see the light right there? It's like at 11 o'clock. It's so gorgeous. And I said, will you? And it's over the ocean, you know, shining down a big way. And I said, would you take us to the light? And he said, I'll take her. It's not your time. Go back. It's a very emotional story. And so I woke up with a severe coughing and head pain. Now, I remember when my dad passed, he passed in front of me when I was little, and I tapped on his chest and I said, Daddy, God is your life. God is your life. And he came back. Ooh! And it went from like a coat that was gone to an actual being again. And so when I came back, I had the coughs. My head hurt. I had been gone a little while. I went to the doctor immediately. It was probably her first appointment. I was like 6 a.m. I was there by 8, just a walk-in, just freaked out. And she said, Mia, this is an experience of oxygen deprivation. You did die. I don't know how long, but you died. And you're going to probably feel the repercussions for a long time. And so I felt them for over 24 hours. So I want people to understand that there is a physical element that our body feels. All we hear about are lights and beauty and this and that, and I'm back, you know. Maybe they were gone for a moment. Maybe, you know, probably it's entering a different realm. But for me, I was gone for a while. I don't know how long. It could have been 5 minutes. Who knows? Don't know. But I'm back, and thank God my brain functions just as good as it did then.
Yeah, oxygen deprivation can be very dangerous.
It can be. So so be aware when you hear stories. Be, you know, like I said when we first started here, listen to everything and accept only what feels right. But also be aware of your belief system, which you'll find me talk about a lot on my site. Your belief system are the patterns that are formed when you're a child. And a lot of times, 90% of them are other people's beliefs put on us. They're not our own beliefs. So don't believe something because mom and pop told you, or you were spanked to believe it. Don't believe it. Get outside of your box and begin to live, because this is a glorious experience being on planet Earth. There's a lot of chaos going on right now. Do your mindset work. Stay above. Stay happy, because you'll find that life serves you.
That's right. And if there are any viewers out there thinking, oh, well, that's just craziness, I personally know a former hospice nurse who has that same gift. She can see people that are stuck in a house that they didn't cross over. And I mean, nobody's judging, believe it or not, but this is not the first story I've heard from somebody exactly like you who has experienced exactly those same kinds of things. We all just need to embrace the gifts that we have and understand.
There's a reason we have them, right? Because we are not afraid to help people. Those who live in fear have not stepped outside of themselves to embrace their divine gifts. I also teach, like you said, the mystical side. I teach bringing out these gifts. I actually have several students who have, a lot of them have already gone on to speaking on stage and giving messages from the beyond. Our gifts are not just about seeing the other side. Many people can't, but they're clairvoyant, or they hear, or they're, So don't poo-poo things until you actually know what's out there. It changes the way we see the world besides ourselves and our tribe and our community and our country and our planet. It changes it when we can open it up to say, I've seen so much so far. What if there's a possibility that this is true, literally? And one thing that I want to tell people is you are more magnificent than anyone has ever told you. And that's part of your divinity in this human element. So some of these things that I talk about, people are like, I've never heard that before. And it makes them cry. And it's okay, because that's the first part of connection to soul, is feeling with all of your senses. We're here to feel, because in our divine state, in our soul state, where we are with God, we don't have the human form. We can remember maybe what an orange tastes like or smells like, but we really can't get it until we're back here biting into it or smelling the whiff of the orange blossoms going down blocks and blocks in your neighborhood.
Right.
So the glorious things that touch you deeply, embrace those. Embrace life.
Right. And that's a perfect segue, because I definitely want to make sure we talk about the whole array of things that you teach people about. So again, your website is miasigns.com. And then I don't know if you wanted me to go through these bullets or if you just want to go through it yourself. So A Life That Loves You Back, is that like a specific program or?
It's a concept besides learning how to do it. So A Life That Loves You Back is, you guys heard my story. I was very depleted as an individual. I couldn't laugh out loud when I was 18, 19, 20, up to 30. It took a lot of self-love work to come out. I was hidden inside. Even though I had this divinity from my mother tormented me. And I lived in my 8x10 bedroom, and I called it my cell. I stopped playing with toys when I was 8 years old, and I remember. So I personally closed myself down, and I'm so open. I mean, I laugh all the time when I'm teaching classes. I'll be laughing and telling stories, and everybody can understand and get it. So it's about becoming who you truly are, right? So that's what A Life That Loves You Back. Instead of waking up being depressed all the time, you wake up with joy.
Exactly.
And so, yes, it is. Love Mastery teaches you that joy. The stuff on my website that's free for you to learn it in that 3-part video series that Tina talked about, those are things that will change your life.
Yeah.
So you don't have to work with me to do it. You can follow my work. You can get information. You can write me. I write people without working with them all the time because they follow my work and they appreciate it.
Right. So. And you did speak to conscious self-love, so not just about saying, if you want to summarize that real quickly.
Conscious self-love, again, is about being consciously aware of what you're doing. we on planet Earth do, you know, in this life, we do whatever we want to do without really thinking about it. You know, people who wake up and they're bitching and complaining about having to go to the work, whatever it is, whether it's at a grocery store, a gas station, a school teacher, whatever, they're complaining about their life. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the energy of not complaining and shifting the exact opposite, bringing in the joy instead of the anger, bringing in the joy? People don't realize that they can actually create a life for themselves. And this is what it's all about. You'll find this all in my free gift, which is my book, Mirror Mirror, A Life That Loves You Back. Tina has the info. You can find it on my website. There's four processes in there. The mirror work, dream, believe, create. So that's creating the life for you. Also, sometimes we fall backwards when we're moving forward and everything's great, and then all of a sudden we get really depressed and in a hole. There's a process in there called deep pockets. Get the heck out of that space and keep moving forward. Exactly. So it's things to support mankind.
Exactly. The other things, and I see now we've gone quite over, and I'm sorry, I've just been so into this conversation, I had no idea. But the inner child and breaking beliefs and mastering your thinking to gain what you want. So are you saying, and she just, spoiler alert, I was so excited that she's given you guys a wonderful free gift called Mirror Mirror, A Step-by-Step Guide to Creating a Life That Loves You Back. So I guess those other things are all kind of incorporated in either your website or the Mirror Mirror.
And write me. I don't have my mysticism on my site, on that site. I also teach business. I've had 15 businesses in 30 years. So I teach online, brick and mortar, and product lines. I also have artists that I represent. So as we grow, we're fantastically amazing. So take your gifts and put them out. We have like four different schools within my company. So one is business and finance mentoring. You know, one is MiaScience.com, which is the love stuff. Then there's a practical mystical school. And so I'm here. Even if you want to know where the best vegan place in LA, write me, I'll tell you.
And can they still access the Bellamia magazine?
They can. It's at BellamiaMag.com. It's in hiatus at the moment. And it'll be coming out. And we also have a book, and I should talk to you about this, Dana. We also have a book coming out from, I have a Facebook classroom called Love, called Rainbow Heart Classroom, which is about unity and non-judgmental of everything. It's about learning lab. And so within that, the shows that I teach, that I give in there, the retreats and stuff, are called Love Revolution. So we have a book with 25 authors about how to create an amazing life for the modern world.
Awesome. Well, Mia, beautiful Mia. This has just been such an honor. I can't believe we went so long. So viewers, this is actually an extra treat for you. You got a lot more Mia than maybe some of the other speakers. But I'm just so excited that we were able to include you in the series. It's been an honor, a total honor. I know the viewers have learned so, so much from you. And just go to MiaScience.com and learn more about her. And there will be a link with this interview, so it'll be very easy for you guys to find her. You just click that link and she'll be right there. Super. So thank you so much. Thank you so much, too. From my heart.
And thank you for doing this show. It's awesome. So
another honor. So thank you.
Thank you.